Our bodies are limited to and subject to the natural world that we live in and its laws. I think we all understand that. Our bodies are subject to the things of this world, this natural world, we'll call it, the physical world that we live in. And our soul and spirit are somewhat limited because they're tied to our bodies. But of course, there's going to come a day when our soul and spirit leave this body and it will actually become a part of a different world, the spirit world. And what we're going to be looking at tonight is we're going to be talking about the fact that these two worlds we've been talking about, this natural or physical world we live in, has a certain set of laws that govern everyone in it, including our bodies. But the spirit world also has a set of laws that govern it. But it's very, very different from the present world that we all live in. And we're going to be kind of considering that tonight as we get into this. So as we begin tonight, I want to begin with a I want us to consider the different types of beings or different types of life that are in this world. We'll get to miracles here in just a little bit. It'll make sense to you. But let's kind of begin with the different types of life that we find in this world. The Apostle Paul actually discussed this. He said, you know, there are different types of flesh, different types of bodies, for instance. So let's begin there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice verse number 39. Here we go. Paul writing, he said, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh, kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds." All right, so Paul is saying, these are different. He's obviously, I mean, it's kind of an obvious statement that he's making. But then he goes on and he says, now that's all in this world. Watch verse 40. But then he said, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Terrestrial means on this earth. So he said, just like on earth, there are different types of flesh. In the same way, there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial body is one, and the glory of the terrestrial body is another. So basically what Paul is writing about here is he's saying all life in this world has some sort of body, and all life in other parts have some sort of body, but they're not the same body. And we've been talking about this. The body you and I now possess is flesh here, and it's a certain type here. And it's subject to everything in this world. But there is going to be a body that we will have that will have a different, and notice here, he said it will have a different glory or a different, it will be different in some way, but it will be a part of a different world. And so as we kind of wade into this night, so let's talk about the three. Now there are many, people could say scientifically, there are many different types of life on earth, but I want to just for sake of our to help us here, let's talk about three. We know that there are many, but let's talk about plants, animals, and humans. All right. Now again, I know please understand, for the sake of argument, we're not going to talk about viruses or microscopic life, things like that, because that would just take us in a place that would just take us to a place where we get bogged down. So let's talk about this thing that Paul was talking about, this flesh or these bodies being different. So let me ask you a question. What is the difference between a plant, between plant life and animal life? Anybody have something? What's that? Okay. So you know, they're basically made of the same elements. Now, the cell structure is different in plant and animal, if you remember that from seventh grade science. But basically, the difference is an animal has a soul-type life, or what you might call a conscious life. All right, how many of you have a pet? Is your pet conscious? Mm-hmm. Sure. Does your pet know you? Mm-hmm. Does your pet bark at people it doesn't know? Yeah. Sure. Or hiss, or you know, whatever, if you got a cat. But... So there's a conscious there. There's a conscious life or a soul life. I've said this many times. You know, the animals are what we might call soulish type, you know, like a dog. A dog is like a soulish type of an animal, right? Your dog loves you. Yes? Now, your lizard, on the other hand, Probably not, right? There's just sort of, we can see this, we sort of innately know there is a difference between, even between animals. So the difference between plant and animal is that an animal has a conscious life or a soul. So now, what is the difference between animal life and human life from a Christian standpoint? You have a living soul or a spirit life. So the difference between so when we think about it, our bodies, really, from a body standpoint, there's really not that much difference between a human and an animal, is there? Now look, some of you need to let go of the whole, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, oh, it's evolution and all that. Forget about that. I didn't say that they were the same, but I got news for you. There are animals that share 99%+ of your DNA. And I've seen plenty of human beings that seems pretty obvious. I mean, it's not a stretch at all, okay? So look, it's not our bodies that really are that different from animals. It's not that part of us. We have similar systems, for instance. We have a similar system as with most mammals. Our respiratory system, our digestive system, reproductive system, all those kind of systems that we can talk about, those are basically, they're very, very similar between humans and animals. Now, there are some differences, however, when we see a difference between these bodies, and please understand, we're actually headed somewhere that will make a difference to you. Just let me do a little science class here with you for a minute, okay? Because it's important. So when we think about it, for instance, our digestive system, when there is a difference between our systems from that as an animal, it's because God has adapted us to a certain environment where he has adapted certain animals to a different environment. For example, if our digestive system it has to be somewhat different from a buzzard's, right? If you ate, or if I ate what a buzzard eats, we're going to die, right? I mean, we're dead. Our system cannot tolerate that, but our systems actually work fairly similarly. In terms of how they extract nutrients and so on, but there's some subtle differences. Obviously, the difference between a mammal and a fish is in terms of respiration, it's because a fish, God made a fish to with certain attributes in its body to adapt to its environment, to be able to live in its environment, whereas a mammal has a different environment to live in. So here's the reason I'm bringing all that out. That should help us then to understand and kind of begin to understand the difference between our physical or our natural body and our spiritual body. In other words, right now we have a natural or physical body that is perfectly suited for the environment in which God put it in, right? However, when we leave this body behind, we're going to enter into a totally different environment. And so the body that we will have then is one that God will have adapted to that environment. You follow me? And here's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So each one of these worlds we're talking about, the physical world here and the spiritual world that we will someday go to, they both have certain laws that govern what happens in them. You with me? And so now, and that's going to kind of lead us to a discussion here in just a few minutes about what miracles really are. So we see this kind of a difference. So let me make a couple statements here. Our natural bodies are suited and governed by the natural laws of our natural world. Let me say it again. Our natural bodies are suited for and governed by the natural laws of our natural world. Our natural bodies are not suited for the natural laws of the spirit world. And that is why, remember the last verse we read last week, flesh and blood cannot inherit what? The kingdom of God. So that's why God said, look, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God because your body is not suited for that environment. So as we kind of think about that, though, so the spirit world has natural laws that govern it. The natural world has natural laws that govern it. But now here's the key. But when we think about the spirit world is on a higher plane than the natural world. So angels, for example, angels come from which world? Spirit world. So angels come from the spirit world. That means their bodies are suited to that world. They're limited only by the natural laws of that world. When they come to our world, they're not limited by the same things you and I are limited by. Right? Remember we talked about angels a little bit. So why can an angel do some of the amazing, what we would say amazing things in this world? Well, because they come from a different world that has a different set of laws and limitations that governs it. And so when we think about that, so I ask you the question then, so what really then is a miracle? Stop and think about it for a minute. What do we call a miracle? Give me an example of something that we would call a miracle. Okay, when it seems like someone's going to die, or they should die. Remember that video we watched about the angel that seemed like it looked like, if it was legit, it looked like an angel swept in and pulled that. That guy was dead, right? I mean, he was going to get run over. You can't move that fast in this world. Okay, so an example of something like that, all right? So we kind of call that a miracle. Dave? And we call that a miracle, don't we? Because it seems like it's impossible. And isn't there a verse about, but doesn't God say something at one point about, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. All right, now does God himself come down usually and make miracles happen? Well, usually he sends somebody, right? Usually he sends something else. So that kind of begins to start filling in our thoughts about miracles. So as we think about what is a miracle, here's how I would define what a miracle is. You define it any way you want to. I think I gave you some maybe parts of an outline here. Is a miracle not just simply this? Is it not just a natural spirit world event occurring in our natural world so it seems like the impossible is happening? Mm-hmm. In other words, what is commonplace in the spirit world, if that is transferred into our world, it seems like the impossible. It's a miracle, right? Right? When in reality, what it really is simply something from the spirit world that does not have the same laws that we have, that's somehow transferred into our world. So here in our world, it's impossible. You and I can't do it. Now, Joe is an accomplished magician. But Joe, there's not really any such thing as magic, right? Right? Because that's impossible. But I say that. But now something from the spirit world could come and do something in this world that seems impossible. And that would be what some people would call magic or a miracle. So you see the difference here. So we're kind of getting a handle here on what a miracle is. So now when we start thinking about this concept of the spirit world can come into our world, but our world really can't go to the spirit world. So as we think about this, let me ask you a question. Let me just ask the question. Is it possible for a human being to breathe underwater without any help from any kind of a device like a scuba equipment or something like that? Is that possible, yes or no?
No.
Is that possible?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're absolutely sure that that's impossible, to breathe underwater, to respire underwater. But do you know, you've actually already done that for many, many months. When you think about this, what is the womb? Isn't the womb sort of a bridge from that spirit world. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that God sends a spirit into a body, yes? Does that body, that baby in that womb, that baby in the womb is not subject to all of the laws of this world, is it?
Wow.
Think about it. Doesn't eat.
Nope.
Can breathe underwater. You see what I mean? There's this, it's almost like the womb is a bridge between these two worlds. God sends the spirit into a body, and yes, that body is subject to some parts. But as soon as that baby's born, what happens? That baby has to adapt to a whole different environment, right? And then we live our lives, and then we come to the end of our lives, and does it not happen the same way at death? When our body here dies, our spirit leaves our body and once again goes to a world with a whole different set of rules that it has to adapt to. You follow me?
Wow.
And then it's kind of interesting to think about. So God has, and God helps that, God has made that spirit suited for that world. Listen, this is why we say things like, this world is not my home. Come on, let's sing it. Ready? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. They're going to shut us down on Facebook probably. It's probably got some copyright. This world isn't our home. It's our body's home. But it's not my spirit's home. My spirit was made for a different world. I think it was C.S. Lewis one time who said something like, I'm probably going to get this wrong. Maybe one of you knows it. It's a wonderful statement. It's like, if I spend my life, let's see, if I never seem to be able to find something that satisfies my soul on this earth, the only logical explanation is because my soul was meant to be somewhere else. It was created to be somewhere else, something like that. So what we find here is this reverse process at the end of our lives, where our spirit goes back to a world that it was made for, and our bodies remain in the world here for which it was made. Now, as we're going to get back to the miracles here in just a minute. So the law, and I got to figure out where I am. So the laws of the spirit world are really just natural laws, but of a higher order. They're a higher order of a type of laws, you know. And I was thinking about the difference between the two, and you know, and things that we see is impossible. And there are ways we can sort of get our minds wrapped around this. 25 years ago, my wife and I had some friends named Joy and Jeff Ryder who were missionaries to the Malamondan tribe of Papua New Guinea. This tribe that they went to minister to, 20 years prior to their arrival, there were still segments of that tribe that were cannibals. So we're talking about a tribe as remote as you can get. They had no written language at all. There was no letters. These missionaries had to actually go and create an alphabet and then teach that alphabet and language to this tribe in order to share the gospel with them. They were there for, I think, 28 months before they could actually give them a Bible story. Now, that's some kind of dedication, isn't it? I'm not sure I understand all of that, and I'm not sure, you know, that I'm made of that kind of stuff to do that. I don't know that I'm that patient. But the point is that when they got there, they took a Polaroid camera with them. And so you can imagine what happened. I mean, when they would take, they were trying to introduce, they used it to try to introduce the concept that there is something out there that you all would think is impossible. They were trying to use that as an illustration for God. And so they took a picture, and it about cost them their lives because they thought it was some kind of weird witchcraft. And that they had stolen their soul somehow, you know. They had to try to explain to them, no, that this is just technology you're not aware of. So when you consider that, and then we have a hard time understanding the spirit world that we're going to, our bodies will adapt to that, and we will see, we will have an understanding better than we have right now, because it will be very natural to us then, because your spirit is made to be there. Does that make sense? Our spirit's not made to be here. Do you know why our spirit is so bothered when we see such violence in our world? It's not because we're good. Hey, listen, those at home, like, I hate to burst your bubble. It's not because you're so good, because we're not. The Bible says that in our flesh dwells what?
No good thing.
We're capable of all the terrible things that are going on in this world. The reason that it bothers us so much is not in our flesh, it's in our spirit. Because in our spirit, we know this is not how it should be. My spirit cannot be at home here. Just can't. If our spirit's at home here, it's got to be dead. You follow me? It's got to be dead. Now, that doesn't mean there's no beautiful things here. There are. There's all kinds of beautiful artwork and music and friendships and all that. But if you think about it, most of that's all done on a spirit level, isn't it? Rick, you're a musician. It's your flesh is involved when you play, but that's not really where the music's made, is it? It's inside somewhere, isn't it? It's got to be. To play that well, it's black magic. That's what it is. Stay away from that guy. No human being can do what he does without the power of some kind of... No, it's you know, but and I think we feel that. All right, so I got to get back on task here. So this kind of helps us to understand. Okay, so those people of that Malamondan tribe, when they saw a Polaroid picture come out with their image on it, well, first of all, none of them even knew it was their image because they didn't have a mirror. They'd never seen their own image, but they could see the image of other people. And so when they talked among themselves, that's when things got a little scary, because to them that seemed impossible. But it wasn't impossible at all, was it? It's just simply technology that we all take for granted. So what is a miracle? Isn't a miracle something that could take place commonly in the spirit world, in heaven, in the world in which angels realms? It's just commonplace there, but when it happens here, well, it's quite remarkable, isn't it? So let's talk about some Bible stories then. So let's talk about some miracles that took place in the Bible. And let's see what really was going on in those cases, and I think that will also help us to have confidence that when we need help, God can come through for us in the same way He did them. So let's talk first. How about the walls of Jericho? Remember that story? How many of you went to Sunday school as a kid? Raise your hand. You remember the walls of Jericho, right? You remember singing the song? You know, I forget how the song goes, but it's, you know, the walls come tumbling down, right? So God said to Joshua, Joshua was leading his people into the promised land. The very first city they were supposed to take was called Jericho. And so they were told, the whole company of Israel, every one of them, men, women, boys, and girls, everybody, they would walk around the walls of Jericho one time today in complete silence, which I think would be impossible for my grandson, in complete silence, and then they went back to their tents. The next day, same thing. All the way around, complete silence, go back to your tent. 6 days, they walked around one time. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times in silence. And on the seventh day, then, they shouted, they blew the trumpets. And what happened? Walls came a-tumbling down. Right? Now, So when we think about that, you know, there are actually some foolish Christians. Please listen to something for a minute. Can I rant for a minute? There are some foolish Christians who think that there's for some reason they have to find some natural explanation to that story. And they think in order to convince the world that, you know, it really happened, well, let's come up with, so they'll come up with some theories. They'll come up with a theory like, well, there was an earthquake. You know, it was an earthquake and it caused the walls. Well, you know, I've never seen an earthquake cause walls of a city to fall down without affecting any of the houses. So that would be unusual. There are others that I even heard somebody spend, I actually had to sit through a message where an evangelist was talking, and he wanted to try to prove that they found the perfect resonance in their vibrational resonance of sound that would cause those bricks to fall apart. And it's like, you're an idiot. Because the walls are made of the same stuff, again, that the houses are made of. And Rahab's part of the wall didn't fall down. But the rest of them did, you know. And so listen, we don't have to do that. Can we just talk about what actually happened in this miracle event? Well, take a look. We actually have to go back a chapter, and we find in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, here's the lead up to that. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes, and look, behold, there was a man who stood over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, are you for us or against us? Okay. And verse 14, and he said, no, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Now, time out. Who's he talking to? Well, he's talking to an angel at a minimum, or a Christophany, the pre-incarnate Jesus, one or the other, doesn't really matter. He said, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord. And here's what happened. He said, look, your job in this, Joshua, is to march around the walls. Your job is to be quiet until the time to shout. Your job is to march around seven times on the seventh day. And if you've been obedient all the way up until that point, you blow the trumpet and then we take over. Right? So this was all planned by God. And it was the host of the Lord. It was the angel army that pushed those walls over. So what's a miracle? Well, in this case, that miracle was God sent some angels to do what angels do, provided that man did what man was supposed to do. Now, unfortunately, God has to deal with some of us. I mean, Tom and I probably would have taken sledgehammers. Well, I just don't think God's going to get the job done when I want him to. We can just do this on day one. We swing that sledgehammer about eight times, and then we're both gassed. It's like, okay, God, let's go back and marching around. Can we start this again tomorrow? You know, but I mean, that's what we do, right? So many times we try to do God's part. And he said, look, I don't need you. You just kind of hang around a little bit, and you might find that I've got resources. God's got resources. Okay? How about another one? So basically the Battle of Jericho is a combined effort of the invisible army of Israel, the invisible army of God's angels. Number two, how about David and the Philistines? This is a very interesting story. Let me just quickly tell you. So basically David is wanting to attack the Philistines one of many, many times. Let's just read the scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 13. Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Verse 14, David inquired of God again and said, God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Just circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Now, isn't that interesting? God says, look, just go. You see that patch of mulberry trees over there? Just go over there and sit down and wait. And what were they waiting for? Verse 15. He said, and it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. That sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? He said, look, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. Why? For God has already gone out ahead of you to strike the camp of the Philistines. Do you see that? It was a miraculous win. But it was just angels. It was a angel's army that was heading, you know, and God says, look, yeah, you're going to hear them go through the top of the trees. That's when you know you're supposed to go. And then finally, for me anyway, and I'm trying to leave you a little time here, how about the Christmas star? I know it's not Christmas. Do you know every year at Christmas time, Everybody, you know, all, you know, I think a lot of Christians, a lot of teachers, they're trying to take on this thing of the Christmas star. We got this story about this star that appears suddenly out of nowhere, and the wise men see it, wherever they are, and they realize, hey, there's a king been born. And so it leads them, it moves with them, and they travel, and they end up in Jerusalem, which is where it was close to Bethlehem. They thought it was Jerusalem. They went and they talked to the king, and it disappeared. And they said, hey, we saw this star. And he said, well, you'll go find it. And they go outside, and then the star appears again. And it leads them to Bethlehem. Now, this is a wonderful story. It makes for great Christmas cards, right? To see this star up in the sky. Have you seen stars before? Yes or no? Yes? You ever seen one move with you? Yep. That's a comet. Oh. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. That was a UFO, actually. And it says, you know, and in the description it says the star actually came and stood over where the young child lay. Now, do you know how big the sun is? Does anybody know how big the sun is? Do you know how hot the sun is? Okay, our sun is a star. You know that, right? So the tiniest star in the universe is still many, many, many times bigger than the Earth and a lot hotter. Do we really think that an actual star, another sun, came and rested over top of the manger? Well, first of all, nothing left of the Earth if it got within, you know, a million miles. It's all burned up. So what is this? What is the Christmas star? Well, actually, we get a hint as to what it might be when we see God many places. He actually says what some stars are. Take a look at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So what's a star? Well, in this case, it's an angel, right? It's calling him, is given the key. So why would we think that an angel came and talked to Mary and said, you're gonna have a baby? Talk to Elizabeth first. And would it not be an angel that's just simply guided the wise men? It appears and disappears, kind of like it can go from one world to another world. Like it's made for this world, but it can come into this world. And the things that it can do all the time in this world seem insanely amazing in this world, right? It's really not a hard understanding because God made angels of a different type of body. And they're able to go from this higher order world to our lower order world. And we would call it a miracle. God says, well, that's just what they do. Because it's what I made them to do. It's what he made those in the spirit world to do. You know, and then, of course, that same angel went off and told the shepherds and all of that. So miracles. When we think about miracles, whether they're in our lives that we know about or Bible stories, they really are just simply God choosing to use something from the spirit world that we've been studying to impact our world. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever witnessed or been a part of what you would consider to be a miracle?